Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Wednesday afternoon. You know how it goes. Life gets in the way. You have to make adjustments. So I did indeed. You know, years ago, it used to be on a Wednesday, just not during the day, so kind of random. So I got a little over an hour or so to do my thing before I go to work. So we're going to try to make this thing work for those that are going to call in, or I planned on calling in maybe this week. I apologize, but you can still call in right now. I'm kind of just doing a quick little show here. So the number to dial is 646-381-4990. Obviously, you know, we're coming off a mild weekend. We, you know, since the late August, we had a nice run, no doubt about it, or late August. Listen to me. I'm trying to have summer be done, I guess. Late April, starting with that Estrada Rungvisai fight and kind of running all the way through. So last weekend, not so much to talk about. The recap will be brief when it comes to Golovkin rolling over Rolls. No problem there. Highlight reel knockout. Also, Oscar Valdez. Looks pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good in his return. So we'll touch upon those fights, like I said, briefly. Of course, we'll talk a little bit of Canelo and Golovkin, the trilogy. You know, what would be any different than the second fight, if any? Oscar De La Hoya has some words to say to Golovkin. Golovkin, actually, I just noticed Golovkin got his Twitter account suspended. It's like, what's going on? Didn't you have Tyson Fury the other day losing a bundle of Twitter? I wonder if those are just Twitter bots. Anyway, so we'll talk a little bit from last weekend. Speaking of Tyson Fury, we will preview the weekend. Tyson Fury returns. He makes his Las Vegas, Nevada debut against a guy who we're going to find out how, you know, how world level he is. Let's put it that way. We're going to find out about that. That's for sure. That's one thing that we will definitely find out about. So he returns. We'll talk a little bit about that. Like I said, it's not going to be some sort of in-depth breakdown, obviously. In the World Boxing Super Series, returns, and I've been touting this doubleheader for quite some time. I do like this doubleheader with the cruiserweights. If you've listened to the show, I've definitely tried to give my props to cruiserweights over the years. You know, we tend to get a lot of matchups even before the World Boxing Super Series. We tend to have gotten a lot of matchups in this division, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, it just wasn't a popular division. So they just started matching up. It wasn't so much, you know, revolved around money and A side and B side. It was just like, hey, you want to fight? Yeah, let's fight. And a lot of top five, top 10 guys have fought each other over the years. And on the low, you know, they're some of them are really, really good fights. So this weekend it's Brides and Globoski, and then Tabidi and Dorticos. So I'm, you know, Dorticos has a way of making a fight exciting. Sure, it may be ugly in moments, it may be slow, but Dorticos, you know, he's an action-packed dude. He's going to usually make you fight. So to beat, he's a guy that likes to stand behind his jab, fight at range, will tie up with you on the inside. And Dorticos is like, hey, man, let's go forward. You know, that's what I want to do. So we'll definitely preview the weekend. Couple other items worth talking about news-wise. Well, we talked about, you know, what's Golovkin going to do in general in this next fight, if it's Canelo or not. Golovkin and Dillian White actually had some choice words to say about AJ, and maybe they thought anyway that the reason why he struggled was for a certain reason that we'll get into. Oscar Valdez, like I said, he's lining up a fight. He just fought, but he is lining up a fight for this fall, basically into the winter. We'll talk about that. Just a couple other items. The Forbes top 100 highest paid athletes came out there. I think was it five different boxers on there? So that's a good sign. And also, Ramirez and Hooker, a unification at 140. If you look at what we got coming at 140, you know, in July and then later in the fall, I believe September, October, wow, man, it is, it's popping. And back-to-back weeks, we had the politics of boxing being set aside for a moment to make a fight. Back-to-back weeks. Last week, we talked about how Wilder and Fury have, they have an agreement to fight next year. That would be a split network fight, which is, anytime you can get Al Heyman and Bob Arum on the same page, I'll take it. But this one has to do with Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum. And Eddie Hearn, as we know, has over the last chunk of months and even the last year or so, he's supplied plenty of opponents for Top Rank on ESPN. And now Bob Arum is doing a trade here, basically, in a sense anyway, kind of like what we've been talking about. So we'll talk about that as it relates to Ramirez and Hooker, and a couple other items as well. As far as Golovkin goes, you know, there wasn't much to take away from that fight, obviously. It kind of reminded me, you know, how he's fought, like, somewhat recently. Or I shouldn't say recently. The way he's fought on the way up, you know, where he just kind of pummels a dude. It was fun while it lasted. That's basically what it was. You know, we knew Rolls on the professional level didn't have much experience. But I got to give credit to good old Stevie Rolls, because he gave it his all. You know, I mean, he got concussion punch. So, I mean, the dude was out there trying to win, and he may have won a round. The first round, they're both basically jabbing well. I think a couple of hard shots late won the first round for Golovkin. Now, the second round, that was close. Golovkin was getting to the body with both hands. But Rolls had this – he had like two flurries. Maybe they weren't long. Maybe they're short flurries. But he had two separate ones where he's moving forward at Golovkin and landing pretty well. He started with a jab, but then he was leading and coming forward. And that was a close round. You could have given Rolls that round. I did, actually. The third round, the left hooks to the head and body started to – add up, especially in the uppercut as well. There were a few counter right hands by Rolls. So it was an action-packed, you know, fight, really. Then in the fourth round, it all kind of went downhill. Left hooks early to the head and body. I think it was a left hook. And then several right hands, and then a perfect left hook. And those right hands, the left hook kind of woke him up. Rolls, it was like, ooh, he may have buzzed him. And then a couple more right hands further buzzed him, hurt him. And then a perfectly placed left hook knocked Rolls the you-know-what out. So good performance by Golovkin, no doubt about it. And like I said, there's not a whole lot to talk about. There was a dude from Uzbekistan. He's a young prospect. I think he's like 3-0. What was his name? I know it's Israel, but is it Medrimov? I can't remember. But he's only like 23, 24. He fought. There was a couple other prospects on that card. Nothing to write home about per se. It was a pretty mild card there. And I'll just kind of finish off. That was on DAZN. This is on. And that was DAZN, you know, for the Lufkins' first fight on DAZN since scoring the six-fight deal. Worth rumored in the 100 million, like, you know, six fights, 100 million, something like that. So, you know, there was no release of numbers, this type of, you know, they didn't release even when Canelo fought Rocky early. So I wasn't expecting really this to do that many new signups or anything like that. But on the ESPN side, you know, on the undercard, Gabriel Flores Jr. stayed unbeaten. He was boxing pretty well. He was landing his jab fairly well. He's got a good right hand. But he showed, you know, that he still has, you know, a few things to work on. I think what were the scorecards? 79-73 and 278-74. So he got some rounds in and was in a somewhat competitive fight considering where a young Gabriel Flores is junior in his career. Oscar Valdez was in the main event. They did have this rating did pretty good. I don't know the peak number just yet, but it did all right considering, well, compared to what it's ESPN for boxing has done, for Top Rank Boxing has done, you know, so far this year, it was a pretty good rating. They did have that UFC prelim. I think the whole card did just under 800,000. I don't know what it peaked at, though. I don't know if it peaked at a million or not. I think the UFC card did in the 900,000s, if I remember correctly. But Oscar Valdez took on Jason Sanchez, unbeaten prospect. And this was really about, you know, second training camp with a new trainer for Valdez. And they're trying to touch up on his defensive issues. And I thought you saw some of that. You know, you saw a little bit more responsibility with the guard. You saw him picking his shots a little bit more. It was a competitive fight, somewhat, you know. Like in the first round, Valdez came out pretty much sticking to the jab. At times, there were some, you know, some exchanges. A few nice right hands and left hooks. Couple of body shots as well in the second and third round. You could see that Valdez was starting to attack that body. Sanchez had some success, though, in the fourth round especially. Had some success. Not quite enough. There was a left hook that dropped Sanchez in the fifth. Nice shot. He did get up, though. And I'd say the best two-way round was probably the seventh at that time. Maybe that was the best two-way round in general. So I thought that Valdez was showing pretty decent defense. Now, there was times where after he landed a punch, he didn't necessarily reset his guard and got clocked. It's not like Sanchez is like a pushover. You know what I mean? He definitely showed some heart. And Sanchez made a decent rally late in the 9th and 10th. And on to the 11th, Sanchez would sometimes get a good start to the round, and then it would be kind of two-way action, and then Valdez would kind of land the bigger shots, looping overhand rights. Like I said, he stuck to his jab. Overall, it was 195 to 107 as far as landing. Sanchez was busy, 869 to 509, but only 12% compared to 38%. 38% overall is pretty damn impressive, especially, like I said, to 12%. And Valdez, the stats sometimes show certain things, right? In the jab, 82 to 16. So he was definitely on his jab. So am I ready to say, well, this is a new and improved Valdez, and I think he's the best featherweight out there? No, I'm not ready to say that. But, you know, if he keeps going down this way, I think it's better for him. Let's put it that way. And it's not like he's going to fight Josh Warrington next. In fact, it sounds like they're lining up a fight for Carl Frampton later in the year. It sounds like Frampton might try to get out in August, I believe. I know he has some lawsuit issues with his former promoter, but you know, we'll see how that goes. But sounds like Frampton's going to try to get out, get a fight in, and then Frampton and Valdez. So, you know, Valdez has already fought Scott Quigg, who, you know, a couple years ago they had that unification at 122. Quigg hasn't really been the same at featherweight, but he did put up a really good fight against Valdez. Obviously, Valdez had that jaw injury where he broke his jaw. But that would be a pretty good fight, Carl Frampton, Valdez. You know, I'd like Frampton in this fight, not to win it per se, but I think this type of style matches up with him, especially if Valdez is trying to, you know, match skill for skill and go wit for wit. Which he may stick to. He may try that out, maybe losing, and then kind of come forward and start digging to the body and try to go bombs away. Either way, I think it's a good fight for where Valdez is. I know they're not stepping him way up, but, you know, he has shown that he's somewhat limited at this high level. If you look at a couple of fights in a row, dating back to a couple of years ago. So, and like I said, he did sustain that injury in a really all, you know, good all action fight last year against Quigg. So I thought he looked pretty good. I like that fight though. Frampton does seem like his best days are beyond him, but we'll see, you know, we'll see. What else? Oh yeah. Just so from the weekend, obviously, you know, DAZN clearly wants Canelo and Triple G, the trilogy. You'd assume, being that, you know, the first one did, both of them did over a million, whether it was 1.3 and 1.1, and that's at like 75 and 85 bucks a pop. So you got to figure for 20 bucks, there's going to be some new signups for that one. And you figure that they could probably get over a million. You'd assume, that's kind of what they'd probably be hoping, that you know, that they would get over a million for that fight, so they could at least be over for however long it lasted, you know, to be over that million mark for subscribers, even if it lasts only a month. That's a positive thing, and I think they need that extra push, since they're not going to get the Anthony Joshua and Wilder fight. Although, you know, another thing about, you know, Andy Ruiz, and we talked about this a little bit, is if Canelo, whoever Canelo fights in September, to have that Joshua-Ruiz rematch, it's a pretty big thing, because there's going to be plenty of casual Canelo fans that will stay signed up for the service until that fight happens, probably. You know what I mean? So that really helps them there. But will it happen? I don't know. Like I said, DAZN wants it, obviously. Oscar De La Hoya was talking about, well, now all you got to do is fight a real fighter, get a belt, and then we can get the trilogy, you know? I don't know if it's talk, you know, and they're just starting to get it going, and they're just talking shit back and forth to each other. I have a feeling that is what it is. You know, they're talking about who's the boss, who's in control. You know, Golovkin this week was saying, you know, DAZN is, I'm a partner with DAZN, whereas, you know, he's got a boss, Canelo's got a boss, and that type of thing. So I don't really know. It does sound like, I'm hearing rumblings that there is an agreement in place. It just needs to be fully negotiated. So we'll see. Obviously, like I said, DAZN really, really would love that one. That would be a big one for them. That would be their biggest sign-up night, I would have to say. Of course, you know, there is already a lot of Canelo fight fans signed up. So maybe, you know, I wonder how many people stayed with it. You know, how many Canelo fans stayed with it this time? Over half dropped last time. we'll see. Of course, he wasn't going to fight till May, so now that he's fighting September, maybe they'll stay subscribed. Speaking of Golovkin, though, Golovkin and Dillian White both had choice words for Anthony Joshua, you know, him losing, obviously. And I'm not saying they accused him of PED use, right? But he accused him, you know, they basically did, because, I mean, I don't know how else you're going to think they were talking about that. They said they mentioned VADA testing and how, you know, maybe it's a little bit more intense. And we did see with Billy Joe Saunders how, you know, something that was legal in the UK was not legal with VADA and WADA in general, those rules. So, but Dillian White and both Golovkin mentioned the VADA testing, and that's why we didn't see the same Anthony Joshua. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Some of that stuff, especially on the Golovkin side, got kind of swept up under the rug. You know, you didn't hear Eddie Hearn, you know, freaking out about it. You know, and maybe he's just kind of like, well, you know, we got Golovkin. He's part of the zone. I'm just going to shut up for now. But I thought that was kind of interesting how not a lot of people were jumping on Golovkin or actually even Dillian White. Maybe they expect more, you know, trash talking from Dillian White because, you know, he definitely does that. But I found it kind of interesting. But yeah, like I said, you know, September 14th, supposedly, you know, we are hearing now that there's an agreement in place. It's just a matter of if it happens or not. I really don't know. I really don't know if that's going to be the case. And by the way, I forgot to do this, a shortened show. If this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. So it streams live. And it also archives. It's basically the headquarters for Ropadope Radio, which, you know, revolves around boxing, but we do football and basketball as well for those who are interested in that. You can also check out Ropadope Radio podcast on iTunes, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, all across the board. You can also, through TuneIn, use Siri or Alexa, and Spotify for that matter, Siri and Alexa, to find the Ropadope Radio podcast. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that can be found on iTunes and Player FM and Spreaker, a whole lot of different places for the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, including Spotify and iHeartRadio. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. You can actually listen to the podcast right there. I do a weekly prediction for boxing. There's a whole lot of different boxing stuff, whether it's classic, you know, information, informative stuff, historical stuff, or modern day topics. And like I said, predictions. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. And they got a new sponsor over there at The Grueling Truth. And it's BetDCI. Let me check this. You know, I'm still trying. They've had that other sponsor for so long. BetDCI. Okay, so betdci.eu, and there's a promo code. You can make a deposit and receive 50% discount on sports or 50% for casino bonus. Use the promo code TGT, and you can play now on BetDSI. Something to think about, of course, no doubt about it. And by the way, if you're thinking about cutting the cable, cutting the cord, I should say, and maybe you already did, and you just, you know, you feel like there's something there that makes you still want to have some cable TV, some channels, right, but not get raked over the coals. You should try DirecTV Now. It's a free 7-day free trial, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere, your smart TV, your smartphone, your tablet, the cloud DVR. They have the cloud DVR. The plans start as low as $50 a month, HBO included for the Plus and Max packages. And this deal is running out as far as this added deal on top of what I'm talking about for DirecTV Now. If you prepay for 4 months, you get an Apple TV, a free Apple TV 4K fifth generation. That's regularly priced at 179. So you're paying about $200 for 4 months of cable and a brand new Apple TV 4K. Okay. Fifth generation, I might add. What else we got to talk about here? Oh, you know, well, Tyson Fury is returning, as we know, and Bob Arum, you know, he's going around kind of talking up a variety of things going on right now, and obviously he's going to promote his guy, and he's really big on Fury, go figure. I mean, obviously he's going to be big on Fury, but he's talking him up like majorly. He actually, and we know how, I mean, he's a promoter, so he's going to talk up his guy. And it's, I mean, Tyson Fury talks up himself. So he's a good guy to get behind that way. But, he did say some things that I really, you know, it kind of makes you scratch your head. Now, if what he's saying is true, that'd be phenomenal. I just don't know if it's all that true. I think it's just a lot of talk, but he claims Bob Arum, Top Rank, the promoter of Tyson Fury, or co-promoter anyway, he says there's going to be more signups this weekend than the UFC when they debuted on ESPN Plus, because this is on ESPN Plus, by the way, for those who don't know. So we'll see. I mean, they had a press release for the UFC. I think it was over 500,000. I can't remember the exact number, but it was over 500,000 signups. And that's really the only big announcements they've had as far as after the weekend. They've announced, you know, how many subscribers they have, over 2 million, but they've only done one real announcement that they were bragging about, basically. So we'll see. And like I said, hey, I hope it's true. That would be phenomenal. And hopefully Tyson Fury, whether it's in the ring, whether it's before, whether it's after, whether it's a combination of all that, hopefully he can go viral in some way. You know, puts a stamp on the weekend in some way, because in a month's time, we've had a whole lot of, you know, exposure for the heavyweight division. And it's something that, you know, started happening slowly but surely in 2017. 2018 was a great year for the heavyweights. And so far, did I say 2018? Yeah. Kind of started with that Klitschko-Joshua fight in 2017, right? And obviously the wave from Wilder and Fury and Wilder-Ortiz in 2018 and some of the things Joshua did as well with the unification, with Parker and whatnot and the stadium stuff. But this year, in a month span, you had a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the heavyweight. So let's hope that is the case. If he signs up 500,000 people, like I said, I'll lead with that story next week. That would be phenomenal. By the way, Zab Judah was recently released from the hospital. He did have a scare after his fight over the weekend. So, you know, for those who were needing an update on that, there you go. One other big topic that I'm going to talk about beyond the Forbes top 100 highest paid athletes, we're not going to go through the whole list as it pertains to all these athletes, of course, but there was five boxers on the list: Golovkin, Pacquiao, Wilder, Joshua, and Canelo. Now, this is the boxers on the Forbes list, the highest paid from June 2018 to June 2019. And something to think about here, I don't know if Golovkin's – I don't believe – well, I'll just say this. Golovkin, his last – fight was in September 2018 before this weekend, and it says 25.5. So I think that's what he made on that fight, because I know he made another 15 minimum without sponsorship for his last fight. So I don't think that's involved. If you add that to the number, then he'd be above. He'd be the the third. I'm sorry. So right now, Canelo was fourth, Joshua was 13th, Wilder was 56, and Manny was 92. Golovkin was 95. Like I said, Golovkin would go up if they counted this last salary. He'd be third as far as the boxer, you know, list anyway. Manny Pacquiao made $26 million. Deontay Wilder, for those saying he makes $5 million a fight or whatever, he made $30.5 million. So in two fights, $30 million. With the, you know, his last fight and obviously what he made for Fury. Anthony Joshua, $55 million. And I believe $10 million of that is endorsements. And then $94 million for Canelo. So I know people like to talk stats about that type of stuff. And, you know, there you go. There you have it. I gave you a little bit of that information. But yeah, as far as Zab goes, just to add a little bit more, this is from Star Boxing, a post on Instagram. We are pleased to share that six-time world champion Zab Judah was released from the hospital today after being admitted after Friday night's fight at the Turning Stone Resort Casino. While he will need to rest, the prognosis looks promising. Looks like he's going to be okay. And, you know, I know he was, I believe he's a nurse, which is a really good job, you know, so hopefully he can be happy with that and not, you know, get back in the ring. I'm just being honest, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. So, yeah, and one more bit of news before we get to the weekend preview. Like I said, this was going to be a shortened show. I'm just randomly trying to fit in the podcast this week, basically. wanted to do it last night, but something came up, so I wasn't able to do it. I did do an NBA podcast before I went to work yesterday, so it's two afternoon podcasts. This will be kind of strange. All right, sorry. I had to take a little break there to get some water in me. All right, so this is the best news right here. So Jose Ramirez and Maurice Hooker, have agreed to a fight. Now, this is something we've talked about the last handful of shows, but we were just kind of waiting to make sure that it was actually gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? And here it is. Ramirez and Hooker will fight on DAZN July 27th in Arlington, Texas. I guess it's like a nice little arena that sits like 8,000. So it should be a nice, they should be able to, you know, sell some tickets in there. Hooker from Texas, and obviously Ramirez, you got to assume he'll have some, you know, fan base there as well, because we know the Mexican and Mexican-American fan base supports their fighters, no doubt about it. So I'm excited about this. And, you know, on the surface, it's not like it's, this is a unification. So it's not like it's an undisputed 140, but it goes, you know, towards that. It's a fight that whoever moves on from here is just going to go up a level. So, you know, it's kind of like if you're a contender, you win, you're a champion. You know, it really elevates whoever wins. And if they have a good fight, who knows, maybe they'd have a rematch and it ends up elevating both fighters. You never know. But the biggest, so it's a good fight. Being that we have Taylor and Prograce coming in the fall, we have this one in the summer, July 27th. That's awesome for 140. That's phenomenal for 140. So on the surface, it's just good-ass fights, so I'm happy that way, right? But the next layer is phenomenal, and it's something that has to happen a couple of times a year. And that is, of course, Jose Ramirez, who is promoted by Top Rank and has been featured on ESPN for a while now. He's fighting off ESPN. And this is something that, you know, Bob Arum was really not having. You know, he's talked about a trade with Heyman and whatnot, but he's never, you know, a couple of his fighters, he's always said that they're just not going to fight off of the network. I have a network deal. My job is to give the network my fighters, especially the top tier guys, the guys that have a fan base, and Ramirez would fall under that. So it's a big deal. And remember, last year, ESPN surprisingly beat out DAZN for that Hooker-Cicedo fight. And Hooker ended up, beating, clearly, knocking out Cicedo. And so, not to mention the Crolla fight, not to mention an upcoming fight with Lomachenko and Campbell. I mean, the one thing, Eddie Hearn, because they don't have a large stable at DAZN for opponents for the fighters that they have, he's had to work outside of that. You know what I mean? So I really like this. So basically, they made an offer that he couldn't refuse. We don't know what it was just yet. We'll probably find out, of course, but they really must have showed Ramirez the money, and Ramirez is probably like, hey, dude, I mean, it's just one fight, And then at least it wouldn't be on even a bigger, exposure, outlet like an ESPN if your guy did get beat. But, Bob Arum is very confident. Eddie Hearn is very confident. They both think they're going to walk away with a unified champ, with a champ that's going to have two belts. So it's great for the fighters. They're both going to make a lot of money. Like I said, Cicedo and Hooker, would they pay like 1.5 or 1.6 for that fight, something like that? So this time, Bob's like, well, instead of spending a ton of money, because it would have taken a bunch of money, why not let DAZN spend it this time? And, I think it's a great thing. So back-to-back podcasts, I've talked about some politics being mended just for a fight. Last week, like I mentioned earlier, Wilder and Fury have an agreement in place. It sounds like it's ESPN and I assume Showtime/CBS. Maybe it's Fox. We don't know just yet, but it sounds like that's what it's going to be. So that's pretty dope. I can't really recall a back-to-back week on my podcast that I've talked about amending, so to speak. And when I say mending, it's temporary. It's like a Band-Aid. You just put it on there. Hopefully you don't scrape the wound again, but you will. So and that's the thing. We don't need all these cross-promotional fights only need to happen a handful of times a year. Or even a handful of times at a weight class over a matter of years. So to get it is just a great thing. And, whether it's a trade system, whether it's, hey, I made an offer, my guy, I'm just not going to refuse for my guy. Whatever it is, it's just a positive thing in the sport, no doubt about it. So I'm really, really, really happy on that one. That's for damn sure. So, yeah, and it's a good fight. And like I said, 140 is popping off right now. To have those two solid-ass fights, with top five, top ten, and wherever you rank them, these are some of the top guys going head-to-head. That's something you can't deny. And, I'm not saying it's a mini tournament, but it's starting to play out that way, even though obviously the World Boxing Super Series is a tournament. So that about wraps up the news segment. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. Not a whole lot left of the show, to be honest. If you want to press 1 and join in, you can press 1 and join in for those who are online right now. I appreciate you guys on this random show. Like I said, I just kind of had to get it in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't see any breaking news, so I'll just kind of move on. Tyson Fury taking on Tom Schwaz. It's not Schwartz, it's Schwaz. He's a guy that's fought a lot in Germany. He's undefeated. He's a big dude. I'm not going to sit there and tell you I've watched a whole fight of his. I've watched a couple of rounds against that guy, watched a couple of rounds against this guy. And, you know, he does like to dig to the body. It does seem like he needs to be stationary, or he needs an opponent to be stationary. And to an extent, he needs to be to land his power shots. He kind of needs to be all the way set, which is usually the case, especially if you're a come forward fighter. You know, he likes to throw the wing the right hand. He better set it up with a jab. He likes to go to the body. It's such a, I mean, he's a big dude. I think he's like 6'4 or whatever, 6'5, but he will be looking up to Fury a little bit, so he can still attack that body. I'm not going to sit there and talk a bunch of trash about Tommy Schwaz, although I just kind of am when I'm pronouncing his name that way, but, you know, I don't expect him. I think the style matches up pretty well for a guy on the move. Now, could Fury lose a round or two? Maybe. You know, maybe in the early goings. Maybe if he's up 4 or 5 straight rounds and he starts clowning, starts the hot dog out there, or starts to, you know, pull the Roy Jones with the hands down or messing with the crowd, or, you know, there could be a possibility where he clowns and loses rounds or whatever, but I think this is going to be pretty much a one-sided mismatch, what it looks like, and it's really about, let's see, Fury's, you know, how he looks, the body, you know. If you look at some recent video and photos, he even said this a while back, that hip and back fat that he kind of stretched out his skin, he's never really going to get rid of that, probably. But he looks to be in great shape. And you can tell not just by his face, but you're starting to see some abs. Like, he's really in good shape. So, it's for me, it's really about how good he looks. And if he looks even better than the last time we saw him, which is in December, which was a while ago. So, I don't think there's going to be much in the way of, you know, a competitive fight after 6 rounds. I don't see this thing 3-3. I wouldn't be surprised if there was 1 round or something, like I said, that Schwaz wins or something. But I think Fury's going to outbox him, be on the move a little bit. Matters how much this guy's pushing. Because if he's not pushing forward that hard, then he probably won't have to be on his bike or anything like that much. Just you know, movement, subtle movement, probably a little bit more than subtle movement. But I don't think it'll be much of a problem. You know, I really don't. As far as the other two fights that I'm looking forward to, well, actually 3. I'll add in Warrington and Gallahan too. I almost forgot about that. You know, Warrington is actually a guy that they favor him in. If you look at his last two fights in Selby and Frampton, he didn't come in as the favorite in those. And he left the winner, clearly. And so, you know, that's where it stands. It's a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience at the pro level. He's probably going to look to outbox him. I did see their little face-to-face. I think Warrington's just going to wear his ass down. I think he'll win going away. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kid Gallahan has more than just a few moments. I think he could win rounds and whatnot, but I think Warrington will just wear him down. The guy's really made a splash on the world scene with those two last victories. It's interesting to see where he goes from there. Also, I see a lot of UK boxing fans talking about Jason Wellborn and JJ Metcalf for the vacant Commonwealth 154 pound. I know the odds were pretty close on that, so that's something to take a gander at. Also, Sullivan Barrero versus Jesse Hart, a 10 rounder on that undercard for ESPN Plus. Michaela Meyer returns as well. Same with Annie Vanez. So there is some other things to at least kind of take a gander at. ESPN Plus from Australia also has a fight card going on. Not, you know, we'll see if it turns out to be any good. But the one I'm really looking forward to is on DAZN. And this one is Bredis and Glavosky and Dorticos and Tabidi. Obviously, this is part of the World Boxing Super Series. It's the semifinals. The cruiserweight division for years and years and years has always been overlooked. And the last, say, 5 to 6 years, especially the last maybe 3 to 4, we tried to make sure to add a segment here and there throughout the year if there was a good scrap. Because like I said before, you saw a lot of top 5 and top 10 fighters fighting. So the fights got made against quality versus quality. And a lot of times the styles match up fun. They're good fights. They're action fights. I mean, not every time out. You're never going to get that. But the fact that you see so many large heavyweights that some people think they should be super heavyweights, the cruiserweight, you know, between that light heavyweight and heavyweight, it just seems like they can produce more activity, right? Because they're in generally not as big and they're not as muscular per se. And they just don't have all that extra 40 to 50 pounds of weight on them. And it's a variety of reasons. But before the World Boxing Super Series came along last year, and that's why I was so happy that they did it. And, you know, it's a pretty good one this year so far. It's just nice, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they were already fighting each other in that division. It just, the reason why they were able to get all the belts in that division is because the money was so crazy. No other cruiserweight was making that kind of money at the time. I mean, maybe Hook, you know, in Germany, but the money they were going to make was just so phenomenal. It's like, yeah, why not? So it wasn't just like, oh, these guys stepped up because they want to do, you know, make history and unify the belts. Of course, it had something to do with that, but it also is because the money was something they were never going to get any other place. So it worked out perfect, and that's why I was so happy that they did one last year, and they did another one this year, and it's turning out to be pretty good. I mean, this doubleheader is pretty good. And Bredis, you know, Bredis is a guy that is he's kind of all over the place sometimes. You know, sometimes he can have a fight, and you're just like, wow, dude, that was impressive. I mean, he fought, speaking of impressive, he fought Usyk really, really well. It was a very impressive outing last year against Usyk. I mean, very, very good fight. You know, didn't look as good since that fight. At times, didn't look that great, you know, prior in those fights. So he's kind of a hit or miss type of dude, and they're only lost, both these guys, Glavosky included, their only loss came to Usyk. Now, Usyk clearly beat, stylistically, it fit a lot better for him against Glavosky, for Usyk I'm speaking of. So he took care of business, no doubt about that. But since then, you know, he's kind of worked his way back up, has Glavosky, and if Bredis isn't on his game, he could be beaten this fight. Bredis, though, you know, is a pretty good, fundamentally sound guy, kind of got a stiff European style at times, but you know, this is going to be a good fight, potentially. I favor Bredis. I think he'll win by decision. But, you know, sometimes he's had some injury issues, too, I think, his hands. So we'll see where he's at, you know. But like I said, with Glavosky, he's a guy that you can be out boxing, and he can still put you on the canvas. So I think Bredis will win, but I'm really interested to see, you know, where Bredis is. Obviously, he's going to be focused. This is for the vacant WBC and a WBO. The other one is the IBF interim, a vacant IBF interim for Dorticos and Tabidi. Tabidi's a guy that fights at range. He usually likes to control the distance, control the pace. And at times, he's looked pretty damn good. Other times, you go, huh, there's just something missing. And some of it is, you know, building up his resume. Some of it's like, okay, let's see him against a higher level guy. Because sometimes he can get a little jab and grabby, you know what I mean? But I think what Dordico's, although, you know, it could be ugly, don't get me wrong, and sloppy at times, I think this is going to be a good fight because Tabidi can still fight in control to an extent, and he doesn't have to go looking for anybody. Dordico's is going to come right at him. Now, I think Tabidi will beat him with his outside work, but Dordico's has a ton of power. And like I said, he has a way of making for a good action fight. The dude just goes for it. So I'm really excited about these fights. And I, like I said, I think Tabidi's going to be able to win on points, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So I'm like I said, I'm really, really excited when it comes to that. You know, when I was on, let me check something real quick. I went to look at the schedule to make sure I hadn't missed anything. And this time it was on, the schedule I go to is usually on ESPN.com for boxing, obviously. And usually, you know, the number one site I go for news right away is, you know, beyond my boxing Twitter, is boxingscene.com. And it looks like I did hear August 17th as a landing date for Clarissa Shields. Okay, so let me just make sure. I believe that's a Saturday, but let me make sure what that is. Yes, it is. So it's mid-August, and that's going to be her next fight, Shields. It's going to be, oh, this is sweet. It's going to be in Flint, the Dort Federal Event Center. And so it's going to be in Flint. That's dope. She's taking on Ivana Habazin for a vacant world title. She's actually, I forgot this now. She's trying to, Dan Raphael, this is from Dan Raphael last night. She has already unified belts, you know, as we know at super middleweight. She then dropped down to middleweight. I guess she's going to drop down to junior middleweight for this one. Wow. Huh. That's interesting. So she's going to go down another weight class, and that's probably going to be where she's going to have to stop, right? I mean, interesting. So it's a Saturday night as well, which, you know, in the boxing world somewhat means something. It can anyway. So that's a good look. That's a really good look. So good for her. Good for Clarissa. Clarissa, of course, coming off that really, really stirred, you know, really, really solid against a stern test is what I meant to say. Got a little distracted. My cat was messing around with something. Yeah, so a stern challenger in Hammer. She turned her away and looked pretty damn good doing it. So just might as well check. Since I saw that story, I might as well check one more time and make sure there hasn't been any, you know, real breaking news or whatever. So it doesn't look like it. Yeah, so I think I'm going to end it right there. I think that's where we're going to stop. Now, obviously, the weekend after, it's kind of a bummer. I mean, we have some fights to close out July. Don't get me wrong. June. There I go. I said August earlier, meaning to say April. Now I'm already in August, or I'm already in July. I don't know where the hell I am. I want to still be in June. It's Minnesota. I want all the summer I can get. So obviously, Tony Harrison, that ankle injury, I think he had surgery on it not long ago. That sucks. That really sucks, man. And, you know, injuries happen. That's part of the sport. But, and that's the problem with the sport to an extent, too, that you have this Fox headlining show where they really planned on giving it some bump, you know, and I've already seen commercials even for the fill-in. I mean, I saw the commercials for Charlo Harrison too, but I've already seen it for Kota. And, you know, they were really going to give this a good push. I've seen it during baseball games, and I've also seen it for Twins games. And then also I've seen it on FS1 watching the World Cup. you know, and it just sucks, man. It does really suck because, you know, right now, tomorrow the U.S. Open starts, and that's going to be on Fox and FS1. So, you know, they're going to run it. They're still going to run ads, but it's just different. You know, when you see a part two, a rematch, Harrison Charlo 2, the casual fan, even sports fan or boxing fan, kind of goes, huh, well, there had to have been something to the first one, right? And also the Charlo twins, that first December, 22nd or something like that, real close to Christmas, that first, you know, card of the Fox new deal with PBC, that got a lot of press. And this fight, actually, even though it was the co-feature, I think it peaked at like 1.8, 1.9, 2 million anyway. I know the card peaked at 2.4 or whatever. But so already almost 2 million people were watching this fight anyway. So to be able to say, oh, here's the part two, because there was some controversy, it just sucks, man, to have the World Cup, to have it on, you know, Saturday nights on Fox for baseball. And then even the next day, I believe on Sunday, because it's a Sunday fight. That's another thing. I wanted to see how that Sunday night did. Now that there won't be any, you know, NBA on, it just sucks for that reason. You know, it's like you had the World Cup, you have the U.S. Open. They have a World Cup game like at 3 p.m. or something the day of, you know, a handful of hours before the card. So you could even promote right there. So that does suck, man. That does suck. I just remembered that. I was really looking forward to that fight. But like I said, there are some other fights to close out June. That was just kind of like the high-profile fight that I was really gearing towards. But there are other fights in July is popping off. And to add that Ramirez and Hooker fight to July is great. And in June or August, I don't know what, when it's summer, I have no clue what dates or times or anything, I guess. It's just funny how I do this. But August is starting to fill up too. August is filling up, no doubt about it. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. You guys enjoy the fight. Sometimes when we have these fights that a lot of people aren't hyped for, like the cruiserweight division, we end up with some bomb-ass fights. So let's hope that's the case. Anyway, I'm signing off. I'll return next weekend, and it won't be an afternoon show, guys. All right? Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag. And when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, that made it. That will show you it's this. So I'm going to give any dollar worth of what I deserve.